Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're reflecting on the win for big man Derek Chisora at the weekend. The veteran heavyweight finally picked up a points decision win against Kubrat Pulev, but did admit afterwards that he's approaching the end of his career. We'll discuss which fights he should and perhaps which fights he shouldn't take before he calls it a day. We could be on the verge of one of the biggest domestic fights in years. It is being reported that Conor Benn and Christian Bent Jr. could square off almost three decades after their dads face each other in Old Trafford. We'll discuss how, what, where, when, and why this fight will happen a little later. Savannah Marshall and Clarissa Shields have been exchanging words ahead of their fight on September 10th. We are going to hear from Marshall, who spoke with Gareth last week, and we're going to look ahead to a big fight for Ryan Garcia this weekend. He faces, I think, the toughest test of his career so far when he takes on former world champion Javier Fortuna. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Decision and the new WBA International Heavyweight Champion from Finchley, North London, England, Derek Chisora.
Can't wait to November the 18th to give him a good hiding. You know, went out there, he done a job on the guy. Another road sweeper, hey, I've done that before. Now I'm with the big boys. I'm there already. He's got to prove himself, not me.
I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna outbox you. I'm
gonna hurt you. You're gonna outbox me or knock me out. Pick one.
I'm gonna hurt you and I'm gonna outbox you. There's two for you.
He's not communicating with us on what he's doing. Is this another case of Tommy Fumbles just being scared to fight me? I think that's what it is. I think the Fury family is trying to manipulate something here to make me fight in the UK.
Gareth, let's just jump straight into it. Did Derek Chisora win on the weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I was in the studio, Addy. I thought it was a fine performance. I thought he was clever in the early rounds, played possum off the ropes, went to the body more than we've seen him do. He got rocked a little bit in the eighth round. Yeah. But there were moments when Pulev looked absolutely exhausted himself. So for me, it was a fine performance. I said to you, it might just surprise us and be a real rugged, exciting affair. And Derek made the fight in many ways. Kubrat held early on a lot.
Yes.
I kind of didn't enjoy Marcus McDonald pulling them apart all the time because they were working it out between themselves and they would have been able to break. And it was a really, really good heavyweight fight between two great heavyweights. But obviously both coming towards the end of their careers. I thought it was going to end up a draw, in my view, even though the judges went 116, 112 split. But I don't think you can have any outrage at it. Derek worked much harder. It was, in a sense, a little bit of a hometown decision. But no, I didn't have any problem with him winning it. Did you?
No, me neither. You kind of, you look around the ring, sort of the ringside area, everyone, how you got it, how have you scored it? And kind of looked at Josh Taylor and Josh, what are you thinking? He was like, yeah, Chisora. David Ayer, I said, David Ayer, what are you thinking? David Ayer at one stage had 8 rounds to zip for Chisora. So I was like, David, I don't even want your score. Forget, there's no point in me asking you. Darren Barker was next to me. He said he thought Chisora nicked it as well. But the interesting one was Tony Bellew. So Tony Bellew, obviously, big friends of Derek Chisora. And I thought he might have a Chisora, and he actually gave it to Pulev.
Well, I'm surprised by that. It's only because he doesn't want Derek to fight the likes of Deontay Wilder and doesn't want to see him get hurt. But look, people see it differently. We have a go at the judges overdoing that sometimes. And look, we're all split. So, but there was definitely... Derek definitely did exactly what he needed to do, which was to draw Pulev into a dogfight. I thought he was also clever off the ropes, Derek. And Pulev missed with a lot of shots. Apart from that 8th round when Derek seemed to stagger, he went back onto the ropes and went back into defensive mode and that kind of clever possum that he plays. I tell you what, his elusive skills are great now as
They're getting there, aren't they?
The bobbing and the weaving, Frazier-like, Joe Frazier-like. But I think the big thing is, you know, where does he go from here? And I know we'll talk about that as we go on in the show. And that's a big thing to talk about for Derek, in my opinion.
It really is. I thought that was it. Obviously, I done the in-ring interview after, and he took his hat off. He said, you know, I'm very, very happy I got the win, but I'm also very, very sad. And I was thinking, oh, he's going to announce his retirement in the ring. Obviously, he came out to Elvis Presley. It was very, he'd done the long ring walk to get into the ring. And I was like, he had the old band back with Don Charles and the crew. And I was like, oh, this almost seems like the perfect time to maybe say goodbye. I know Pulev isn't the name you want to go out on a win with, but it's still a recognized heavyweight. So I almost felt like it was the perfect time to retire just because, you know, as a big fan of what Derek's done for British boxing over the years, win or lose, I don't want to see him go in with the kind of names he's sort of chucking out there. They kind of scare me a little bit for him. We'll talk about Deontay Wilder being sort of the name he really wants, but anyone, even Hellenius scares me, if I'm honest with you. He looked really good against Cal Naki, but did you think that was it? Especially him coming out to Elvis Presley, did you think, you know, when he took his hat off, that maybe he's going to call it a day?
No, because I did a big interview myself with him for DAZN where he said, you know, he's still got things to pay for, daughters to bring up. He doesn't feel, he still loves it so much, Eddie, that I don't think he can give it up. And one of the things, you know, he was very clear to do afterwards, even though Eddie Hearn's been talking about Deontay Wilder, you know, he said to, as he said, I told Eddie the other day, get me the biggest names. I want the big fights. And for me, it's either Dillian White 3. They're both in the right place to have that third fight if they want it. And Deontay Wilder, I'm not so sure. But time will tell on that one. It's certainly a fight Deontay Wilder would take, in my view. Yeah. And as Eddie Hearn called it, that's a very dangerous fight with him right now. And I agree with him.
Yeah, look, Deontay Wilder was a couple of seconds away from being the WBC heavyweight champion. He's a very, very good talent. But I want to talk about Ben Eubank. I mean, I read your piece in The Telegraph when you spoke about, sorry, apologies, me and you spoke about this on Talk Sport. No doubt you're going to talk about it in The Telegraph a bit later.
Yeah.
How close are we to this fight being announced? Is it on? Rumors suggest it is on. Nothing's been announced officially yet. But what can you tell us, Gareth?
I understand that apart from deciding the catch weight, probably 156, 155, something like that, between middle and welter. Big step up for Ben coming up from welterweight, but it doesn't tarnish his legacy at welterweight. If he loses this, he's probably a big underdog in the fight.
Massive underdog for me. In terms
of experience and size. But I understand the fight's been signed. I've had a lot of people call me. I did do a little piece in The Telegraph when I announced the Sky deal with Anthony Joshua and Usyk for that fight, obviously with Matchroom as the promoter. Look, for me, the fight's made. Yeah. I think it'll be in the early autumn, late August, early September, in my view, maybe even a little later.
Yeah.
But it's a massive fight. It's a massive British fight. It's Ben Eubank 3, isn't it? So for legacy, as they both put out in their social media, and it is for legacy. The old men will get involved.
Take my money now.
Yeah. I suspect they'll do a gloves are off with those two as well and talk about their sons. So, and it's probably going to be even more flagrant with them talking about their sons even than them, rather than themselves. So, I think the fight's on. I think we're going to get a cracker of a night. I know that the Zauerlands weren't able to get for Eubank what they wanted with Sky and Boxer. It wasn't coming through. Mm. So they knew that Ben fight was there. They've been tempted over to DAZN, and I think it's a cracking fight and a great kind of counterpunch, if you like, to the fact that DAZN didn't get the deal with Joshua and Usyk.
Yeah, it's massive for DAZN, this one. It brings the casuals in. It brings the hardcore boxing fans in. It brings sort of fans that loved British boxing in the 90s when it was on ITV, and everyone assumes that was the best era of British boxing when you could watch it for free, 10 o'clock. It brings everyone in, doesn't it? And then you've got two guys that will sell it well. Ben and Eubank are polar opposites. And if they do a face-off or anything like that, you can imagine how that would just, sparks will fly just because of who they are. It's funny, out of the
and
three...
And styles. Well.
You're right.
It's a great stylistic matchup, believe it or not. Ben looking to counterpunch. Mm. Ben looking to go aggressively. And throw his shots. The younger man, less damage on the body and on his body clock.
Yeah.
Total self-belief, undefeated. Chris Eubank Jr. probably coming towards the end of his career, believe it or not.
You think?
Last three or four fights for him. He's not going to hang around forever. As his father said, it's a mug's game. And what he meant by that was you get in, you stay in, you keep all your faculties intact, you make as much money and you get out. And that's their métier. That's their rhythm. That's the rhythm of the Eubanks. They're very smart people, in my view. I like them very much. They're brilliant to deal with. And I just think that Eubank will look to open up on Ben coming in. It's a fantastic matchup, really is.
No, it's such a good matchup. It's a massive, massive jump, though, isn't it, for Conor Ben? And look, he was there Saturday night and we kind of had a few words and he's ready for whatever they put in front of him. But I mean, to go from, and this is no disrespect to his previous opponents, to go from a Granados small kind of at the end, Algeri's small at the end, Vargas, Formella, to jump up to a guy that's fought at 168, big, strong, almost has a chin that you can't detonate on, Eubank. This is a big task.
It is a big task, but it's one that whets the appetite. And, you know, and we've been on about him. He's done everything he's had to do so far.
Yeah.
He totally believes in himself. As I say, the key is that even if he loses this fight and it's an entertaining fight, his legacy or his growth at 147 pounds at welterweight isn't tarnished by a loss. What I hope is that it isn't such a brutal battle that it takes an awful lot out of him, and that may affect him when he goes back down, you know.
100%. We don't want to see a Brook GGG scenario.
Hey,
we don't want that.
Addy, and the other thing is, if it's a really good fight, they might do it again. That's the thing, you know.
Why not? Yep. It's about, you know, making money and leaving the sport, and that will generate a lot of money. Savannah Marshall, we're going to hear from her a bit later. I know you spoke with Savannah Marshall.
Yep.
Obviously, this big Clarissa Shields fight coming up. Alicia Baumgardner versus Michaela Meyer on the undercard. I mean, Sky have done really, really well. Savannah, one thing I realized seeing her versus Clarissa Shields, she's a lot bigger.
Oh yeah, she's a 6-footer, isn't she?
Yeah, you know? She is genuine 6-footer.
So and that height and reach advantage could play into her hands in this fight. It's not the bull against the matador.
No,
it's two women at the peak of their powers, both with very different styles. Clarissa's been accused of not having heavy hands, but I think Savannah's going to be hit more than she's ever been hit. But she's got such a great style, elusive on the outside, long rangy jabs. And when she gets on the inside, she's very powerful, as we know, because she's knocked out so many of her opponents, 90%, 95% of her opponents. So it's a brilliant fight. September the 10th, it's my birthday. My birthday, September the 10th. So I'm going to really enjoy that night, whether we're either in the arena, I know TalkSport or after that contest, of course, I hope they get it, that event, and two other women's title fights on the card as well, with Tasha Jonas and Anna Ranking and Michaela Meyer and Alicia Baumgardner. And the only thing which we'll hear from Savannah, which she talks about, is should it have been an all-women's card? Maybe not. Yeah. And should it have been pay-per-view? Maybe, maybe not.
Indeed. You're listening to Find an Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we'll be hearing from Savannah Marshall. She spoke with Gareth last week, and we'll discuss Ryan Garcia's fight with Javier Fortuna this weekend and how it could impact the lightweight division. But up next, are we going to get Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank Jr. this year?
This is why I shall take you out on the night of the 18th of November. You are mine, you belong to me. I am the man.
He's all hype, you know, and I can't wait to give him a good, good hiding.
On that particular night in question, I will show that I have what it takes.
The public is demanding this, you know. I walk down the street, people say, hey, give this boy a hiding.
Some of you are going for Nigel Benn because of his punching power. Benn, a man with the dynamite in his fist, really, the reigning champion. Chris Eubank, the challenger from Brighton down there on the south coast, a very different type of personality.
We are proud to present the main attraction of the evening.
Yeah, thank you, myself, boy.
You had your time. Let's have some parliamentary procedure here, all right?
I'm crushing numbers in the sprints. I'm crushing numbers in sparring.
He's got a statement victory, and Conor Benn has produced the performance of his career.
If the fans wanted it and it could be made, then sure.
Misses again. Eubank rolls his shoulders. He's having fun in there at the moment, Eubank.
I get out of bed in silk pyjamas in my heated Range Rover seats with a nice massage on the back, heated steering, and I still train harder than all these fools.
If we ever ended up in the same weight class where there was a catch weight that could be made, if that's what the fans want, of course.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis. You heard us talk about it at the top. Could we be getting one of the biggest British fights, I think, of the last sort of 10 years in Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank Jr.? It looks like, I to believe all the rumours, it looks like the fight is close to being signed. Still some things, I guess, that need to be ironed out if it is going to be signed. The weight being one of the biggest ones. Gareth, we mentioned at the top that Chris Eubank has fought at 168. Conor Benn is a 147 guy. I mean, it seems all fair that it's at 154, but you do wonder, I've looked at Chris at 160 and I don't know how he makes 160. There's not a fat on him. There's nothing to lose. He's shredded. Can he come down to 154, 155?
Yeah, I think he can, but it's going to take a lot out of him. And that's the advantage of Conor Benn. We need to know about things that they're discussing, like rehydration clauses. No doubt we'll get a chance to ask him about that. Because you don't want Conor Benn at kind of 155 pounds and Chris Eubank at, you know, let's say 168 or something. It doesn't, yeah. It's not good. I mean, he is naturally the bigger man. He's just under 6 foot. Conor's 5'9".
Yeah.
You know, as I said, it's Conor's power that's going to be interesting in this fight, because the styles are fantastic in terms of Chris Eubank has worked on his countering and his elusiveness with Roy Jones Jr. Conor Benn is a very aggressive come forward fighter. I couldn't think of a better style matchup, frankly. Very similar to the fathers.
Exactly the same. It's a mirror image.
It is. And, you know, what we're looking at is, you know, the return after 30 years or 1919, 1993, a draw and a win. For Chris Eubank Sr. And one of the biggest grudges and biggest rivalries we've ever seen in British boxing, 30 years on, at middleweight and super middleweight they were, of course, in 1990 and 1993. I remember them well. And the funny thing is, the two fathers were on tour with Gold Star on a talking tour, and apparently they didn't get on at the beginning and they struggled with each other. They were arguing over which sandwich they should have in the green room, but apparently they got on so well by the end. I think we're just going to get that they know exactly what they're doing. They were natural promoters when they were fighters, and I think it's just going to be even more pointed with them, with fathers and sons, because there's so much jeopardy on the line for both of them, because it's bragging rights again. Conor Benn get back what his dad didn't do and beat a Eubank? So all of those things play into it brilliantly. And I think if they do the promotion right, I think it'll really work for DAZN.
Yeah.
I think the British public will buy into it.
Yeah.
There's a narrative there that they can create really easily, Addy. And I'm really excited about it. And I'm really excited to be involved in that narrative. I hope TalkSport go after it.
They've got to. Honestly, they've got to. And maybe it's a case of yourself and the boxing crew, Andy Clark and Adam Catchell, tell TalkSport bigwigs just how big this is. This is huge. Yes, it's not like the heavyweights, but in terms of anything else, this is as big as it gets. I remember being asked a question about this fight about a year ago. Like, could they ever fight? And I was like, absolutely no chance.
Yeah.
I said, no way. Conor Benn's not, he's 147. And at the time, I think Eubank was campaigning at 168. I was like, they're 20 pounds away from each other. And Conor Benn hadn't sort of ascended to what he is now. You look at Conor Benn, he is like this mini superstar waiting to kind of erupt of anything. He's now a big, big draw for DAZN. And I never really thought it could happen. And even off the free, when I chucked Kell Brook into the mix, of all the kind of combinations, I thought this one was the furthest away. I thought Kell Brook, Conor, okay, that makes sense. A kind of passing of the torch match. Kell Brook, Chris, we've seen sort of Kell fight at 160. That makes sense as well. This one didn't make sense, but it's the dream one. It's the one that didn't make sense for me, but in my head, it's the dream scenario. Could it, if promoted correctly, look, I'm happy that it potentially will go to an arena, but could it have done a small stadium? Like if given the correct push, do you think?
No, go for a big stadium. Go for a really big stadium.
You think?
Go for the Olympic Stadium. Go for West Ham's ground.
Oh, that's perfect because he's a hammer as well, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Push for that. Get all the football fans behind it. Make it a big occasion. Get the fathers on a big promotional drive.
You've got to
well.
Get the fathers on it. You've got to. That almost has to be in the contract. The fathers have to do everything.
Yeah. I think there'll be a natural enmity between the two young men as well. You know, there's so much familial pride on the line here as well.
Oh, man.
Add all those things in. And I think we've got a humongous fight. And I think it's why, like you said, a year, maybe 6 months ago, we were going, nah, well, maybe Conor needs to do things at welterweight first, prove himself at world level, and then make the fight with Chris. Mm. But the more you look at it, that fight sells more than a Yaron Ennis fight, a Virgil Ortiz fight. So right. Any of the champions are out of the picture because they're looking to fight each other at the moment.
Yeah.
Conor's nowhere near mandatory. He's got two tough fights come through at welterweight to get near there. So get in, make the big fights. And I think this is happening more and more. There's a massive appetite for those kind of fights in the UK at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's just the biggest fight. And they've looked at it and looked at it. They put, you know, when often you put things out there and you get a reaction. And when the reaction comes back really strong from the public, which it has, then you just go for it. And it's just, they seeded it. It's grown in this sunny weather and we're almost there, you know?
Mm. Is there a danger if you're Conor? Look, for me, there's the risk reward with Chris is huge. Chris probably looks at Conor, no disrespect to Conor, as not a big risk because he's a smaller guy and the reward is so much bigger because there isn't a bigger money fight for Chris at 160, maybe GGG, but I still think there's more money in this one. But for Conor, is there a danger when you look at what Brook did with GGG, going up and fighting the bigger, stronger guy and the damage that caused Brook, then going into a fight with Errol, the orbital bone smash. Are they rolling the dice a bit here with Conor?
Yeah, they are. But Chris Eubank Jr. is not the killer punch, a single punch killer that, I mean that with as it, you know.
Of course,
Not killer, but a devastating knockout merchant that Gennady is with both hands. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to find out, this is the acid test for Conor at, I think Chris is world level, simple as that. It's a real test at world level. It's a test of his mettle. It's a test of, you know, when times get troubled in this fight, which they will at some point, I imagine. I perceive that anyway, that how does he deal with it? How does he come through the other side? There'll never be another fight that he'll put so much heart and soul into. So all of those factors, it all points to, let's get this fight on. Let's get this fight made because it's so thrilling and it's so exciting. I mean, you have to say that Chris Eubank Jr. is a strong favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to say that it's come from the demand of the British fans and we're on board with it. And I think all the media are on board with it now as well.
Yeah, I think everyone's sold. I mean, again, the rumors are out there and people started to kind of react on Twitter and everyone is jumping on this one. If you're of a certain age, you remember the dads and you're jumping on just because of that. And if you're not, and if you're a younger sort of boxing fan. You're jumping on just because you know Conor Benn, you know Chris Eubank Jr. They're two big names that sell the fight. If this fight was on Sky Box Office, how many pay-per-views do you think this would have done?
600.
Wow.
I think it does. And here's another one. Here's another one. Who's the most popular with the British public out of Benn and Eubank?
Benn?
Yeah, I agree with you, Benn? Just.
Yeah.
Because Eubank plays the heel.
He does it so well. Yeah.
Eubank can play that. We've got a natural heel and a natural popular guy as well who has his heart on his sleeve, whereas you get the kind of cool as a cucumber, unemotional Chris Eubank Jr.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We'll be saying all the way through this into the build-up. This is my fight to lose. I have no problem against this young guy. I'm going to teach him a boxing lesson. He's not ready for me, but I'm happy to do it because it makes me a ton of money. And you know what? Yeah. I see Chris Eubank Jr. fighting Conor Benn this year and then Billy Joe Saunders late in the year as well.
And he could call it a day after that because he's going to make loads of cash. Finally, will it go on DAZN pay-per-view?
Oh, I imagine so. I imagine that's what they're looking at with this DAZN Plus, isn't it? Yeah, I think so. And it works on there. Well, it's the same as getting a subscription for a month anyway, isn't it? And then wanting to renew it or not. Yeah. It's all pay-per-view in a sense. But I think it's good for DAZN because it will definitely draw them a big, big crowd and allow eyeballs on their platform and all the other, you know, like you and I are involved in, like shoulder programming and all that kind of stuff that's brilliant on the platform.
Yeah, indeed it will. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are talking the lightweight division. Big fight this weekend between Ryan Garcia and Javier Fortuna. But up next, we'll be hearing from Savannah Marshall. She spoke with Gareth to discuss her super fight with Clarissa Shields in September.
What else have you done in your career besides brag about beating me 10 years ago?
I've knocked out people you went 10 rounds with.
No one you fought was elite.
You are?
No one you fought was elite. They were good.
But we fought the same people.
Hannah Rankin was your best opponent. Who else was your best opponent? Name them.
I'm not saying that. We boxed the same people. They didn't go the distance from me, but they
you
skipped out the ring with you.
You fought against MK 3 years after I fought against her.
They skipped out the ring with you. Yeah, and you haven't improved.
Clarissa Shields is a superstar. And she's got that one loss. She had 64 amateur fights. She's had one loss against Savannah Marshall. She's never lost in the professional ranks. And this is personal for her. And Savannah has known that this moment will come since the time she turned professional. And now it's coming.
You're not going to beat me. You're not going to beat me.
I'm not just going to beat you. I'm going to outbox you. I'm going to
You're just going to outbox me or knock me out. Pick one.
I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to outbox you. That's two for you.
You're not going to knock me out, and you're not going to beat me.
I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to outbox you. Yeah,
Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2 with myself, Andy Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. Big, big female fight September the 10th between Clarissa Shields and Savannah Marshall. It's one that we've been talking about a year now. It finally happens. Savannah Marshall has said she has the utmost respect for Clarissa Shields, despite the hatred between the pair. The two will meet, as I said, September the 10th in an undisputed middleweight clash at the O2 in a rematch that has been 10 years in the making. Let's hear now from Savannah Marshall. She spoke with Gareth following the press conference last week.
Are you disappointed, without trying to hammer the promoters about where it is and that it's going to be an all, or they're looking at an all-female card? A lot of people in boxing, myself included, quite surprised that they're doing an all-female card. I mean, why do an all-female card?
I think for Sky, I think they're trying to... Sky are really big on women's sport, so I think they're really getting behind and really pushing it, especially, you know, look how much they've backed female boxing, even from the start with Katie. Mm. So Sky are a big pioneer and a big supporter of women's boxing. But for me, I think Michaela Mayer and Alicia was a massive fight, but I think that's a headliner on its own. So really, I feel a little bit sorry for them both. I'm not saying mine and Clarissa is going to overshadow them, because I don't think it will, but I just think, you know, they're both American. I think it would have been better in America, maybe in like one of their capitals, something like that.
Yeah.
So I do feel sorry for them both, but it is what it is, and it is pushing female boxing. But I do think, look, if you're not a fan of female boxing, and there's people still out there that aren't, there's no way you're tuning into that card.
What do you say to people who aren't fans of female boxing, though, Sav? What would you say that should they bring their eyeballs to the sport and watch it and see, not take that traditional view of women shouldn't be hitting each other? What would you say to those fans, not fans, what would you say to those people that find it a little bit uncomfortable?
Like you said, it's just tradition and the way people have been brought up. Like, I know men still that don't like to see women get hit, and that's just the way it is. And I think until they actually see a female fight, and I can remember when Katie boxed Passoon won.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was an unbelievable fight, but both of them took heavy, heavy shots, and it wasn't nice to watch from that perspective. From an entertainment perspective, it was brilliant. Mm. So it's just the way people are, it's just the way people have been brought up, and, you know, if the eye gets turned to watch, then fair play.
Would you have been in favour of this fight? I know it's not going to happen, but would you have been in favour of this fight being sanctioned over 3-minute rounds?
It doesn't really bother me, to be fair. From an entertainment point of view, I think I'm a boxer. I watch boxing, and sometimes when you have men fighting 12 threes, it's boring. I get about 6 rounds in and find myself limping to the kitchen, opening the fridge and looking on my phone. Whereas 2 minutes, it's exciting. It's action-packed because you've only got 2 minutes to win the round.
It's a fascinating fight. From the outside, it looks like knockout artist against the boxer. Weirdly, you know, I'm pinning you as the knockout artist there, and Clarissa as the boxer. But it's much more nuanced than that, isn't it? It's much more complex. And I'm going to be honest here, you may have to take more shots than you've ever taken before, may have to take more shots in this fight. And she's probably going to be a hit harder than she's ever been hit before. Is one of the nuances that I see in this fight. It, for me, it's a fantastic matchup because it is the ultimate test after a decade, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Obviously, she's got that one defeat in me. Out of everyone, she's only ever had one defeat. And obviously, for me, I'm the one who's beat this so-called G-Wart. So it is. It makes for a perfect matchup, and it's entertaining. It's exciting.
Savannah Marshall there speaking to Gareth A. Davis in confident mood, in fine mood. I thought that she spoke very, very well at the press conference. I've always thought that she was quite shy, Savannah Marshall, but she seems to be, I don't know, she almost like she needed Clarissa Shields to bring something out in her. And now she seems very confident.
Yeah, she does. And she's grown, and this is her time, and she's got more plaudits, and she's fought at home a couple of times. She's felt the power of the crowd, Addy. She knows the power in her hands. She's got a fine record. And she's beaten Clarissa before, remember? So the only defeat in Clarissa's entire amateur and professional career, I think it's easy for her in the sense that she doesn't start the argument. She's like very much like the counterpuncher in the verbal arguments. You know, because, you know, Clarissa is a big trash talker. She's a motor mouth. She's got a brilliant She's very erudite and articulate with her message and her life story and all those things. I mean, let's not forget, she's had this extraordinary life where she suffered abuse and she's come through it, and she's a standout figure. She's celebrated in America. She's celebrated by women for what she's achieved as well as a woman who's come through horrific times, you know. Yeah. So she's also from Flint, Michigan, which has its own troubled area. She's fighting in mixed martial arts. She's got the courage and pride to call herself the GOAT. She's a brilliant marketeer. Why shouldn't she? I remember that first interview that I did with her after she'd called herself the GOAT. And she said, if Ali wouldn't be called the greatest today, if he hadn't called himself the greatest.
True.
He flung the golden mud and it stuck, and it turned into a brilliant epitaph of the greatest, and he'll forever be the greatest. So some people think the greatest activist to come out of sport of all time. And she has that similar kind of drive. So Clarissa has that, and Savannah can react off it. So it's perfect. She's a perfect foil for her in lots of ways. And we saw that at last week's press conference. What I particularly like is that Savannah is now expressing strong views, as she did in that interview. Why is it an all women's card? What sense is there in that? I wasn't too happy about it. Why are we moving to London? As I said to her, Sav, you're better off in London, because if we can get you on the Today program, on Talk Sport in the studio, on the breakfast shows, you know, Good Morning Britain, all those things, because it's a massive fight. London is the media hub, it's the media pulse, and it would have been a little bit buried up in the Northwest, or the 100%. Northeast rather. So I know you agree with me on that. And the other thing is, should it have been an all-female card? I mean, Mr. Oladipo, I'll get it right this week.
Perfect.
Please discuss those 3 points.
I don't like the idea of it. I don't think it needs to be. I understand what Sky are trying to do in promoting sort of female fights. You don't necessarily need to do it like that, because the two main events, and you could even chuck Tasha Jonas versus Hannah Rankin in, the three main events, they're all standalone great headliners.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they could all headline a Saturday night fight card themselves and get good numbers and good eyes.
Tasha Jonas could sell out the Liverpool Echo Arena.
100%.
Hannah Ranking. Michaela Mayer and
Baumgartner
could do the Hulu Theatre at Madison Square Garden. No question about it, Addy. You're absolutely spot on.
And you know what surprised me? And look, you have to maybe give credit to Sky, but as soon as I saw, because I guess the question was always going to be, is it going to be on box office? Like, how much are they playing Clarissa Shields? Surely it has to be pay-per-view. And when I saw Baumgartner and Meyer and Rankin and Tasha, I was like, okay, it must be box office then. Like this is actually quite a fit card. The fact it's not surprises me. And look, I'm happy it's not. I don't want to spend any more money than I have to watch boxing, but it does surprise me that they've been able to put this card together without this going on box office.
Yeah, well, look, here's what I told her, as you can hear in the interview. Oh, it might not be on that bit, because it was a long, rangy interview, and I don't know if Jeremy, our producer, put this little bit in, but here's the key. If they have a fantastic fight, those are the only two girls that you obviously have got Franchon Cruz Dazern as the undisputed super middleweight title at the moment. Yeah. Those three women really are the heavyweights of the women's division.
Agreed.
Of women's boxing. They are the heavyweight, super middleweight, and the big middleweights at the moment are women's heavyweight boxing. This is like the heavyweight championship of the world for me.
Agreed.
In lots of ways.
Agreed.
So there's another fight for the winner. Cruz Dazern and Clarissa Shields had an amazing fight on the undercard. I think it was of Andre Ward and Sergei Kovalev. I was there that night. They had a 6-round battle. It was like Hagler Hearns, a modern Hagler Hearns. They put their heels on, their makeup on. They went out with their pens. 10 minutes later, they were both out down down the strip. I saw them with their mates, with their gangs, and their gangs of friends. And they're brilliant fighters. So she's there. H.H. Diva's there as a fight for either woman. But it wouldn't surprise me to see a trilogy between these two. And if it's a fantastic fight first time round and controversial and is close, then I think you move it to pay-per-view with a load of guys' fights on the cards as well, men's fights on that card as well.
I'm so happy you just mentioned that, just as we go to break, about it being sort of important for Clarissa as well that she's got a Savannah, because I spoke to Clarissa in New York and it was me, Ak and Barak, and I obviously, as the only Englishman there, I was like, okay, you need Savannah as much as she needs you. Stop it. Like there is no...
She wouldn't have it, would she?
She wouldn't have it. She's like, no, I'm the superstar. I'm like, you are the superstar. You're the GOAT, but you need Savannah.
Yeah.
And Savannah needs you. Savannah would admit that she needs you as well. Like, you know, who else is there for you to fight? So it was interesting because there's been so much talk from Clarissa about, you know, wanting to do this MMA career. And I like it. But let's be realistic about it. I mean, she's got a good stand-up. It's going to take years for her to get a good ground game in order to compete against the high name. So she needs Savannah desperately. And that's why it makes a really good fight. Polar opposites in terms of sort of personalities. And it just sells. It really does.
But and also, one other little point to remember is that Clarissa has got a deal with the Professional Fighters League and is meant to go over and fight in MMA after this fight. But if it's a brilliant fight, they'll be patient with her and they can have that second fight and that trilogy fight. And she can do both. She was going to concentrate on MMA next year. Mm. But you know what? If there's more money on the table on a pay-per-view for a second fight, then I'm sure she'll take it because she's a smart businesswoman as well. So, and I know that Ben Shalom and James Fruin from the PFL work very closely together. Yeah. And they're celebrating the fact that she can do both. And they're both using her as a crossover star in that sense. So it's all good. It ticks all the boxes. I think it'll be a great fight. I still can't pick a clear winner at the moment because I think Savannah's going to get more problems than she's ever had in any fight before.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be an absolutely great fight. Great fight card as well. I think Baumgartner and Michaela Meyer could steal the show, but we'll see. I think that's a great matchup as well.
It is.
Good fights. Well done to Sky to putting all those fights on. All right, you're listening to Fight Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're talking the lightweight division. Can Ryan Garcia make a statement this weekend against former world champion Javier Fortuna? Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo and Gareth A. Davis. Big fight for Ryan Garcia this weekend at the Crypto.com Arena. I hate that name. The old Staples Center. He fights Javier Fortuna, former champion at Super Feather, I believe. Coming off a couple of close fights against Jojo Diaz. So a big opportunity here for Ryan Garcia to make a statement against a known fighter. What do you make of sort of Ryan Garcia in this lightweight shakeup, Gareth? I know you spoke to him. We are going to hear from Ryan Garcia in a couple of minutes, but what do you make of him? Like, where do you have him in your sort of top three, top four lightweights?
Well, he slipped back a little bit from that time off that he wanted to take. He wanted to take a time off from the sport. He had some personal issues to deal with. Mm. He's fighting a guy here that... it's kind of keeping him treading water. It's another comeback fight.
Yeah.
It's a fight that just puts him thereabouts.
Stay busy.
Yeah. Emmanuel Targo was the same. Went unanimous decision over 12 rounds, something he needed in San Antonio, Texas. He'd been out for, 15 months at that point after knocking out Luke Campbell. Mm-hmm. So he took a long time away from the sport. He's still a very young man, remember. He's still only 23.
He's getting bigger, isn't he?
So,
physically, he looks like he's getting a lot bigger. I wonder how long he can stay in that lightweight division.
Oh, I think he'll stay there for a while, But the good thing about him is he's a tall, rangy lightweight. He's only 23, so his age is on his side. He's already a father. Mm. He's got millions of Instagram and Twitter followers. He's massive.
Yeah.
He's a huge star. He's got wealth beyond his wildest dreams already. You know, he turned pro at 17. He's been a pro for 6 years. He's, I think, in terms of, apart from welterweight, in terms of depth of division, this is the toughest division to be in.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it at the moment and you ask me where he is, George Kambosos, I'm not doing these in any particular order, but let's say, you've got Devin Haney, Javonta Davis, Vasyl Lomachenko, George Kambosos, and him. And maybe I think you've got to add to that coming up is Shakur Stevenson as well. Yeah. That's a top six. Those six guys with the right resume in a couple of years could all be in the top 10 pound for pound.
Yeah, no, it's a stacked division.
You know, maybe not Kambosos, but there's certainly five of the six of those. So, it's a really stacked division. Where do you put him?
I guess we're going to have to find out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the others have all mixed it with each other or at least had sort of, toughish fights.
Yeah.
We have to see where he is. I thought after the Luke Campbell performance, you could have chucked him right near the top. Because Luke Campbell, we know how good Luke is, and a fantastic boxer. And for him to get up off the canvas and beat Luke that way, and then to have this long hiatus and, you know, new trainer, we need to kind of see where he is mentally as well, Ryan Garcia. Let's hear from the man. Obviously, takes on Javier Fortuna this weekend. Not looking past Fortuna, but he wants the big names. And he mentioned Javonte Davis as well. Let's hear from Ryan Garcia.
I'm a superstar, so this fight, all it does is continue my superstardom. You know, to me, I'm going to get a chance at the bouts regardless, whatever IBF or whatever they have me ranked. I don't even think about that. All I think about is these guys want to make money, and I am a key element to them making a big pay-per-view. So my main objective is go beat Tank Davis after this. That's it. That's where this leads to. But of course, right now I'm focused on Fortuna, and my whole mindset is to know how to piece him apart and destroy him. You know, I do want to destroy him. So that's what I'm thinking about. But you asked me, where does this lead? That's it. That's all it leads to.
It's it's always going to be Tank Davis before Devin Haney because of the contractual issues?
No, I think it's just for me, that's what I want to do. And nobody's going to be able to convince me otherwise because, you know, Tank Davis for me is whoever wins that fight is the face of boxing. And do I want that more than the bouts? Yes, because you don't take those, you can't spend those bouts. You can spend a big check, you know, being the face of boxing. And I'm not saying money's everything, but in this sport, the bouts have been drowned out so much for me, at least, that it's like, man, what would you rather be, you know, selling the most pay-per-views you could sell and setting up your family for life, or having some bouts you have to pay for anyway? You know, to me, which means more is, you know, one, place myself as the face of boxing. You know, whoever wins that fight to me is a new face of boxing. Then I go take on Lomachenko. Then I go take on Devin Haney. That's fine. Don't worry. I just want to position myself as the new face of boxing. And when I beat Javonte Davis, I will accomplish that. And then I'll feel great within myself. And we're already working on that. So we both want that. Javonte himself wants it. So that's what this is leading up to. And then I go take on, you know, Lomachenko and Devin Haney.
Ryan Garcia, as always, Gareth, confident. A smidgen of arrogance in there, which I don't mind. I like that as well. I think you've got to have a bit of arrogance when you come to your boxing. Not looking past Fortuna, but he wants Javonte Davis next, which surprises me. So he doesn't want, not now anyway, yet the undisputed king, which is Devin Haney. He wants Javonte Davis. I like it, but we know how difficult that fight is going to be to make.
I think he's saying I want the number one in the division. Because I think Javonte, for me, is arguably the number one in the division. I know Devin Haney looked fantastic in Australia against George Kambosos and put on a boxing lesson, Addy, but he's calling the toughest guy to beat in the division, in my view.
Not Loma, do you think? I've got a thing for Loma. No,
I think Lomachenko beats Garcia. On skills paying the bills. Yeah. And I think he does. He does. And I think Garcia is probably at the moment, I would probably say that it's, for me, Javonta's my number one in the division. Mm. Haney and Lomachenko is an amazing fight. I just think that Haney might pip Lomachenko in a boxing match.
That's the only thing. Youthfulness, I think it's
yeah. So and those size, two and three. Yeah, and size. And then I think I've got Garcia 4 in the division. Mm. But I love that fight with Javonte Davis. And look, Garcia's ranked 2 with the WBC anyway. Weird. I don't get this. He's ranked 10 with the IBF. I don't see where Billy Dibb, Dennis Baranchik, and Richard Comey get ranked above Ryan Garcia. Sorry, don't buy that.
Boxing
with Maxie
politics.
Hughes at 11. No, I don't buy that.
Yeah,
he's got too much power in those hands. But look, the key is we've got him back. He could have left boxing altogether. He doesn't need boxing. Mm. He's got, you know, he's built up as extraordinary. He's incredibly good looking. He looks like a young film star. He'll probably go on to do loads of things. He's friends with all the stars in combat sports. We've seen him trying to knock the cup of tea out of the hands by hitting
Ngannou,
of the big Ngannou man.
That's fantastic.
You're not just, who spilt my tea, says France. No one, baby, not from lightweight and below. and on that note, do you think we're going to see Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou?
Absolutely no chance.
I really don't.
Quickly, as we end though, very, very quickly, this is looks like John Jones is back. They're starting to talk now a lot about him versus Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, I like
30
that.
30 seconds, great fight that.
Yeah, I like that. And he beats Miocic in my view. He'll be too quick, too clever. But he's got to be careful not to be hit by Miocic because he's got very heavy hands. He's former Golden Gloves champion, of course.
Let's not
as well as
that,
a wrestler and a baseball player. Imagine him hitting a baseball.
Oh, my Lord.
Can you imagine?
Imagine him just hitting you.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No big hits from Mr. Miocic from me. I'd rather live on the outside of the cage with him around.
Good to see John Jones back, and the UFC will be happy as well. They're desperate to get some star names back in the roster, and John Jones is probably the biggest star of them all. Gareth, as always, my man, really appreciate it. Thank you very much. This has been Final Extra on TalkSport 2. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.